Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
Really awesome.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Oh, awesome. That's
awesome.
With Stephen Bradford. Stephen B.
What's up, Bradford?
Hey, dude.
Are you recording?
I'm recording now. Okay, I'm a professional.
I don't know. Well, yeah, we're kind of professional now.
Yeah, 155 episodes in. We better figure out something.
Well, at least we can hit a record button. But I'm so excited to have our guest today because our listeners have been asking.
Yes.
Multiple times, and she doesn't know this, but probably over the last 6 months to a year. Yeah. When are you going to get her? Well, we got her.
We done got her, and we're so thrilled to have Risa Dorkin with us. Hello, Risa.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So you guys know her as Nurse Amy Driscoll. Amy Driscoll, right?
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
I feel like everyone in their life knows an Amy Driscoll. That sounds like the, do you know what I mean? Like, I went to school with an Amy Driscoll. Like, the neighbor girls, Amy Driscoll. There's something about that name that is so... Yeah. Which is like funny because on soaps, most of the time is like, this is Skylar Thunder Whatever. Ross. Like, you know, like.
All right. Thanks, Bradford. Anyway, okay. Risa, how you doing?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thanks for joining us. Before we kind of get into the whole GH section of things, we like to go back and just learn and hear about your path and how you got to GH. So where did you grow up? What kind of kid were you? Were you into the arts early? So those are the kind
of
things.
A lot of questions to throw out. Let's do one at a time, Steve. Well, overwhelm the poor girl.
Well, what are we going to do? One word answers. Where are you from?
I'm from, born and raised in Minnesota.
Ah, that's cold.
Whereabouts in Minnesota?
Apple Valley. It's near the Minnesota Zoo or the Mall of America.
Yes, ooh. I've been there.
Yeah.
I've been to the Mall of America.
So wait a second. The Mall of America is in Minneapolis, though, isn't it?
It's right outside the city.
And Apple Valley is right outside the city too?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, because I did some children's theater, which I thought was in... No, that was in Appleton, Wisconsin. Never mind, whole different place.
Yes. Thank you, Bradford, for joining us today.
Well, because I remember my favorite thing was the... what's the fondue restaurant? Melting Pot? That was like... But do you have those in Minnesota too?
I mean, sure, they're a chain.
Right. Listen. So what was life like in Minnesota for young Risa?
I grew up doing theater. I started doing theater professionally around sixth grade.
Wow. What? Okay.
All right. So when you start doing theater and you're that young, is it just because that part of Minnesota has great, like, was this like, did you start in school? Did you have like great after school programs? Like,
I started doing, dance class. That was my first thing. I did tap, jazz, ballet.
Yes.
And that kind of got me involved in the arts. And then I started taking voice lessons privately. There's a great theater community in Minneapolis. So I got into the children's theater there. And
Were your parents in the arts at all?
No, not in the arts. My siblings are both kind of athletic, intellectual people. Nobody was in the arts except for me.
Wow. So what drew you to it?
It's just always what I've done. I just grew up loving it. Yeah.
That's great.
From a young age, I was doing talent shows for my family. And
That's awesome.
You've always been kind of an extrovert?
I was more of an extrovert as a kid than I am now.
That's so funny. Why do you think that is?
Why do you think so? Yeah.
Oh God. Well, that's a loaded question. That's
okay,
so deep.
Forget it.
We have an hour, Risa.
Yeah. Why did you lose your childhood? You know, like, why do you lose your innocence? Why do you,
sure.
you get more in your head? You get more.
So you get more self-conscious when you're not a kid.
Yeah. Self-conscious. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So you're doing theater, you're doing all these things. Like, so did you do professional stuff all the way through high school and middle school? Were you just kind of out there working?
You said sixth grade? What was the first professional production you did?
It was a show called Young Lindy. It was a musical about Charles Lindbergh.
Were you the baby?
No, I was his girlfriend. I was his girlfriend.
Was it like Lindbergh's baby, right?
It was about him as a child. So I was his girlfriend. So, yeah. And, fun fact, it actually took me 5 years to graduate high school because I was in theater. It took longer to graduate. So
your career in Minnesota was like taking you away from school. It was going so strong. Wow.
Yeah, because I did a production of High School Musical in high school that took about 2 years. We did hundreds of performances. It was the stage premiere of Disney's High School Musical.
Wow.
Did you tour outside of Minnesota?
No, never left Minnesota.
So same stage, you're doing hundreds of shows at the same place.
Yeah, sold out every performance, hundreds of performances.
Was that Disney theatricals?
Yeah.
That's amazing. So it was like the Disney, because if they're using the name, it's got to be Disney. Why did they pick Minnesota?
I'm not sure. Children's Theater it's won Tony Awards. It's very reputable theater, the Minneapolis Children's Theater.
Okay, so let me get this straight. So High School Musical was on Disney first, and then they wanted to go to stage, and they went to Minnesota. And made a stage production there, and you auditioned for that?
Yeah, I did that for 2 years, so that's why I missed too much of my schooling to graduate on time. So then I did a fifth year at a different school.
Hey, you're getting paid. Who cares?
Yeah. Super senior.
So even in sixth grade, you were getting paid?
Yeah.
Wow. That's so cool. Who do you play in High School Musical?
Martha Cox, the hip hop dancing geek.
Awesome.
Yep.
So in your dance training, like you got, you pop it and lock it and stuff like in.
I can throw it down a little bit. Yeah.
Uh-oh, watch out.
Yeah.
Bradford cannot. And he has a bad back.
Right. No, I'll pop a bat. I'll pop a disc is what I'll do.
He totally would.
So yeah, when you're involved with a company like that, because obviously the Minneapolis has the Guthrie, has like a big touring house too, right? So like, do you feel connected to the, like, are people like talking about moving to New York? If you're in that track, is it like, oh, people from this track go and do this?
Yeah, that was always my dream. I moved to New York when I was 18. Or 19 when I graduated high school eventually. I moved to New York.
And is that because you had other people that you saw do that? Or was it just like that? Yeah.
Yeah, we were small town Minnesota, but the theater community was really connected to New York.
Right. Yeah. So the fact that you did High School Musical, did you feel like, hey, I have this pretty big credit. I can go to New York and see what happens. And did you go by yourself?
Well, I went for school.
Oh, you did. Okay, great.
So I had a plan a little bit.
Awesome.
After your post-grad year, your fifth year, you decided like, I want to train in New York.
Yeah.
Right. So did you apply to just one place? You knew where you wanted to go, or what was that decision like?
No, I had a couple mentors who had gone to this school and suggested it. And I was really looking I wanted to get into auditioning as soon as possible, but get the training I needed. Mm-hmm. So this was the best case scenario. I went to a 2-year program at Circle in the Square Theater School.
Oh, yeah.
So I just trained hardcore for 2 years, and it was crazy, like full days, 7 days a week in a basement in a Broadway theater.
Awesome.
What years was that, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, 2009 to 2011.
Okay. What was going on in the theater at Circle in the Square when you were there?
Lombardi, the play Lombardi. Yeah. Cause I met the cast. That's why I remember that.
Yeah. No, I've seen some, amazing things at that theater. And it's, I mean, it's such a unique space.
Yeah. Godspell was going on as well.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw Metamorphosis there when I was, do you know that show?
I know the show. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I was in New York. I had already moved to LA by that point. I was in New York 98 through 2005. Circle in this, cause I feel like someone else on our show did that training program. Someone else that we've interviewed had did that training program. Is there anybody? I'm not sure if you haven't met anybody on our show that did that same training program.
No.
Okay. All right. I think there is somebody, but anyway, well, how did you find New York moving from small town Minnesota?
Oh, terrifying. Like all the stereotypes are real. I got mugged.
Not awesome. Don't say awesome, Bradford.
I got mugged too, but I mean, we're still here, so it's fine. Let's trade mugging stories. Tell me about yours.
I was just on the train platform and he wanted my bag.
What was in the bag? What'd you lose?
Just a gym bag.
Right.
Great.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. I was mostly upset about losing the bag, so.
Sure.
Yeah. And he just asked politely and you're like, yeah, sure.
No, I actually got punched. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Well, that's not nice.
That's not nice. And did you file like a report or anything? Like,
yeah, because there was police there. Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. Wow.
Did you get your bag back?
Yes, I did.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Wow. That's an interesting mugging story.
But you got justice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I don't know if they ever got the guy, but I got my bag.
All right. He threw it. He chucked it out and chucked it, right?
He was like, oh, man,
tennis shoes. not good. No cash.
Yeah.
What was yours, Bradford? And please don't make it an hour long.
Okay. Well, I was dumb. It was like 2 or 3 in the morning and I was on West 4th Street and 6th Avenue. And there was at the time it was called Dime Bank. And then it doesn't matter. But I went to the ATM at like 2 or 3 in the morning.
Oh, good job.
Then walked out of the bank and walked out a dark street.
Oh, that's even better.
Amazing. So I was walking on the left side of the street and like close to the cars. And so
by yourself?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
So of course a guy came up in front of me to the side of me and to the back of me. And then there's the car, right? So I'm completely boxed in. And so they took my wallet and they went through it rather than taking my ID or my credit cards, which is awesome. Cause they didn't take.
That's nice.
But at the ATM, I had only taken out $20.
Oh, so they got 20.
Because I was in college.
So they got 20.
Yeah. So they got 20 and they took my MetroCard, which I think was empty.
Oh,
so
great. Perfect. Did you get punched?
No.
Well, I would have punched you.
Yeah. For only that. Right. Totally.
Yeah.
You
only gave me 20. I'm punching you.
Right. As far as muggings go, it went okay for us. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty
good. It happens.
Did you get homesick? Like what was your transition like there?
I was homesick. I hated New York. It was hard to get used to public transportation. Mm-hmm. I had roommates I didn't get along with. It was just rough. Yeah.
Did you continue to hate New York or did you figure it out?
No, I loved it. Yeah. I miss it now.
Sure.
Eventually it grew on me.
So how long did you stay there? So let me ask this question. You always were focused on theater. Were you ever focused on TV or movies? And when did that kind of happen, come into the scenario?
Yeah, that happened in New York. I lived in New York for 6 years and kind of did off Broadway and auditioned, woke up at 3 in the morning to get in line outside in February. And
yeah,
open calls are the best.
Yeah, I did that whole game. And so I just kind of was trying to figure out a way to get out of doing that. And so I started doing extra work because I didn't know anything about a set. I had never been on set. I didn't know anything about the positions or crew or anything. So I started working at background work and I spent a summer working background for Boardwalk Empire.
Cool.
And as like a regular, it was the same like 60 background actors and they used us for the whole season.
That's amazing.
That's
now, did they tell you that as a background? Did they say, hey, we're just going to keep using you guys? Did you know that?
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. That was the gig was for the summer because they like changed our hair and everything. And
awesome.
Yeah. So that's where I really learned everything about being on set. And I slowly was just like, I don't want to be a background actor.
Right.
So yeah, it's just.
And then
so,
you had did you have an agent or did someone, how'd you kind of make the transition to go from going from background to.
No, just self-submitting for stuff in New York. And then I got an agent when I moved to LA.
Yeah. Well, so when you were like, okay, I want to move forward with this. What steps did you take to try to make that transition from background to principal?
Wow, that is like the loaded question everyone wants to know.
I guess, yeah, people like casting directors do workshops on it. Yeah. But in terms of like, you know, you realize that, oh, wow, I like this medium. Was it about getting to LA? Was it about getting more training? Was it about getting the right representation? What was the first thing that you kind of identified as what you wanted?
Well, all of the above. I felt like I had the training because that's what we did was scene study work in New York. I had a great, strong background in scene study and kind of script analysis and that whole side of the business.
Right.
But I knew I wanted more or to get out of background.
Is that when you decided to move to LA or was there another reason?
No. Well, yeah, we got my apartment. We took it as a sign because my apartment lease, you either had to buy the apartment or move out.
Okay.
So we took that as like a big sign as we should either, That's you know, funny. We're either going to take the next step in New York or we're going to relocate. So
well,
we
okay. But, and but buying an apartment in New York. Yeah, yeah, who's we at that point? Yeah.
Yeah, that's me and my boyfriend at the time. He's now my husband.
Okay, so is he an actor?
Yes, also an actor. Went to the same school in New York.
Okay, great. So he did theater also?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So you guys decided because you couldn't afford a $20 million penthouse.
Right. Well,
that's the thing is like the landlord probably knew what they were doing. They probably wanted to get you out so they could raise the rent.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
But
so
like.
It's New York, dude. They're going to do whatever they want there.
But like two young actors, yeah, get out or buy it. Like that's such like a reasonable request, I don't think.
Yeah, my husband always wanted to be in LA, so he took it as the big sign, and I kind of went along with it.
Great. Mm. So, did you think at that point you weren't going to go after theater anymore, and you're just going to focus on TV?
No, I still would love to do theater. That's where my passion is.
Mm, great.
But there's not a big scene in LA. I've tried to get in it in LA and
yeah.
Did you, the theater that you did in New York, was it mostly musical theater or was it straight plays too and stuff or what?
It was, yeah, it was actually mostly straight plays, but my background I consider to be mostly musical theater.
Oh, well,
sure. Well. Yeah. Right. Yeah. The LA theater scene is it's more relationships than like good auditions.
Yeah.
Is what I've found and heard. And when my wife moved out to LA, she had a great career in New York and, you know, worked at a lot of great places and had good reps and everything. And she moved to LA and she's like, oh, well,
for theater.
Yeah. When she moved out to LA, just cause life took her out, you know, because of me and a couple other reasons. And she just assumed she'd be able to do theater in LA, but then the auditioning is not the same as it is in New York. Like,
oh no.
And most of the theater productions are done within companies, and the companies are friends that started the company to create their own work for themselves.
Yeah.
And unless you get in with that group of friends or that, like, they don't just cast people off the street to get leads in plays or musicals, unless you're working at like the big theaters, like the Amundsen or Pasadena Playhouse or, you know, places like that. And they bring stars out from New York to do that, or film stars. Like, it's the theater scene in LA, unless you get in those premiere on those premiere stages, which are hard. The lesser theater, when I say lesser, I mean the like lower budget and community based, you know, like neighborhood based stuff. That's not easy to get into either.
No.
So
well, then we'll just start our own.
That's what people do. That's what people do. They start their own.
We don't need anybody. We'll do our own.
And then when someone else is like, ooh, I'd love to be a part of this. You're like, no, sorry, we're full. Bye-bye.
Yeah, yeah.
That's bye. What you
think. Yeah, we have friends. Yeah. Thanks. So when you got out to California, did you get an agent right away? What happened there?
Yeah, I worked as a reader for an acting workshop.
Cool.
And so that really got me a good relationship with a bunch of agents. So I signed with my agent.
Great.
like right off the bat, and yeah, got GH a few months after that.
Oh, wow.
Really? Like what was your first like on camera speaking part?
What was it?
Yeah.
Oh, here. Yeah. First one?
Was it GH or was it?
No, I did a YouTube project for Shane Dawson. I did a movie with Shane Dawson, and that was my first big credit. And I recorded an original song in a studio, and that was like my that was my first time doing
that's
that.
Awesome. Fancy. That's awesome.
Yeah, and so like no one ever thinks these days like, oh, I'm going to be on a soap, or like, you know, no one thinks like necessarily like genre specific, like I want to go do this and this, right. But like when you're talking to your reps and stuff, like what, when you came out here, what did you like imagine yourself doing? You know, like, was it just like do guest stars and stuff? And then, or did you want to do independent movies? Like, did you care?
No, I mean, of course I cared. I imagined doing guest stars and film. I have a strong comedic background. I immediately got into The Groundlings when I moved here.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Which tracks did you do there? Because I did a couple tracks there.
I did all of it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I went through the whole core track within the first year.
Oh, awesome.
Wow.
So then that ends up making you... Do you do Thursday
eligible
nights?
Sunday Company.
Sunday Company, right.
Yeah.
But that's an investment, isn't it?
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, you have to, it's a lot of time and you have to like fund it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's all very political and.
Yeah.
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 Like it's a great thing to do, but the commitment is something.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, now she's had a better story about The Groundlings than you. And mugging. So now we're
going
to move on.
Awesome.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I thought I was going to do comedic, like half hour comedy stuff when I moved here.
Sure. And then you end up on GH.
Yeah. Which is actually probably a better fit than anything because it's like theater. And I get, for the Nurse's Ball, I get to sing and dance.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Today's episode of That's Awesome is brought to you by...
Oh, friends. No. Best Fiends. Here we go.
Fiends.
Have you not downloaded this game yet? Because you probably should.
Come on, dude. I'm traveling to LA again. And, you know, a lot of times I drive, but sometimes I'm on the plane again. And it's so nice to have Best Fiends keep me company on the plane.
I miss playing on the plane with you on our show when we're on the road for our shows. It was awesome.
And, you know, I've been playing it for a long time, but I still get a little bit of a rush of adrenaline when I beat a level, you know, like there's like, it's that satisfaction, those little victories in a year like this, man, sometimes you just need a little victory.
You just need to win.
That's right. And this is our favorite mobile puzzle game. It's great for de-stressing. I mean, it's great. I mean, if you're at home all day, it's great to break up your home life. If you're traveling, it's great to travel with. Because also one of the best things about it is it doesn't need Wi-Fi. So you don't need to buy the Wi-Fi on the plane to play Best Fiends.
Listen, Best Fiends is boredom's worst nightmare. Okay, 100 million downloads, 5-star rated game. It's awesome. There's more levels, and they're always changing it all the time. The look changes with the seasons. It's amazing. There's more levels, more events, more challenges added all the time. So, you know, I hate when games end. This game's not going to end for a while for me. So that's what I'm excited about because I really I'll play games and they end. I'm like, now what?
Well, there are 5,000 puzzle levels and counting. They keep adding. So if you're worried about it running out, it's not going to happen. And, as Steve said, there's always more updates. So it could be more levels, fun events, side games, changes to the game based on feedback. They treat this like a service.
They take this game seriously.
Yeah. So we hope you like us, maybe get a little obsessed. It's not hard to do.
That's right.
So download Best Fiends free today on the Apple App Store or Google Play.
That's Friends without the R.
Best
Fiends. Stupid.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy.
That's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to geico.com, get a quote, see how much you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Hey, y'all. It's Fem.
It's Jaden.
It's Carly Hansen.
It's Oliver Tree.
What's going on? It's Ian Dior. And we all know Valentine's Day is the most romantic time of the year.
Sucks. Whatever. My friends and I are about to turn the whole holiday upside down in our new scripted holiday series, Valentine's Day in Hell.
First, we spent Halloween in Hell.
Now, you're invited to be a part of our next musical podcast from our In Hell series.
This time around, the devil is playing games with all of our hearts, trying to ruin our Valentine's Day plans by dragging us down to the depths of hell.
In each episode, you're going to hear new original music from artists like Ian Dior,
Jaden,
Carly Hansen, and me, Fem.
Tune into the Valentine's Day in Hell comedy horror musical podcast.
Subscribe for full episodes, bonus material, and original music. This February, check out Valentine's Day in Hell.
Brought to you by Audio Up and Podcast One. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Let's go back for 1 second. Did you audition for Mark Teschner?
Yes.
Okay, so how'd that whole process go? Was it a scene? Was it, what were they looking? Did you know what they're looking for? Or just walk us through that?
It was a scene, and I had the breakdown, and I was nervous because I had to sing a cappella.
Awesome.
They wanted me to sing I'm as corny as Kansas in August, that song.
She didn't end up doing that on the show, did she?
No.
Wow.
That was okay. Just like to get the vibe, I guess.
So that was
they
that
wanted
was,
a Nelly Forbush.
Yeah.
So that was
that Steve was, doesn't get that reference, but
no, I don't at all.
It's I'm in love with a wonderful guy from South Pacific.
Yes. I know Billy Five Bush, but that's the
Billy.
So you had to sing in the audition and do a scene.
Yeah, did a scene that they made up. It wasn't a scene that was ever in the show.
Sure.
And then sang. And I remember being really nervous because he was the first casting director I had that he knew the lines.
Yes.
He was just talking back to you. He wasn't looking down at the page. He wasn't right. Like behind a camera.
That's
he's
awesome.
Just staring you in the eyes. And
He's connecting with you. Imagine that.
I know. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. So did you go in one time? Did you get a call back or did they just?
Yeah. I had a call back with like six other girls. Actually, Deani, who plays Deanna on the show, was there for the callback.
Right on.
Deani, who plays Deanna?
Yeah.
Deanna. A lot.
Deani, Deanna.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. She was at my final callback. So.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
All right.
Yeah. They ended up writing a part for her too. So
cool.
It was great.
So many stories end up like that. Like
I know,
auditioned
right?
for this. And that's what I love about not only just Mark in the casting office, but you know, the leadership and it's, you know, as leadership has changed over the years, it seems like that's a constant where
that's what someone they did remember. Cause we just had Jane Elliott who plays Tracy Quartermain on and they did the same for her.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're not good for this part, but we'll write you another part. So,
yeah.
So what year was this? When did you come on GH, Risa?
This was 2016.
And
they had you sing because they already had her in mind for the Nurse's Ball. Is that right?
Yeah, I went right into the Nurse's Ball. That was the first thing I did.
Right.
Really?
Okay. And so did they, was her connection to Nathan already established too? Or did that come in later?
Later.
Yeah. How long did you expect to be there?
Not long. No, not long. A couple episodes. I thought for the Nurse's Ball.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was like, it doesn't make sense for me to just disappear then. But
Well, and that's the thing is like you do good work and they say, oh, yeah, do more. Let's do more. And so that's a tribute to, you know, the work that you do. What is Amy doing these days? Like what is,
I just had a stint with Brando. I was his nurse. So
yes.
People were thinking there was maybe some vibes going on there.
Sure.
Well, that could work.
Yeah. I'll take it.
What was the thing with what was the thing with Nathan though? You were like good friends with him, but then you wanted more than friendship kind of thing.
Yeah. But she didn't at the end. She had a good heart and she ended up giving a lot of money to Maxie for the baby.
You gave money to Maxie?
Yeah.
What did Maxie need money for?
For the baby.
Did they scam you? I think they scammed you.
No, I wrote a book that came out and the book did very well.
That's right. What was that book called? I remember this now.
Ask Man Landers.
Man, that's right. We were like, who is that? Oh, was the whole thing right. Is like, who is that Man Landers? Man Landers?
Yeah, it was a cover with Nathan on it, but I wrote the book.
Right.
Oh, that's funny.
That's right. And you, he knew the secret, but he was the only one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Now, don't kill you me. But Nathan's Brian Peavy, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you, all that money you just gave to Maxie?
Yeah.
Very generous. She's a very generous nurse. She serves everybody and gives money to everyone.
That's right.
What was her story about needing money? I'm fascinated by this. No, like.
There wasn't a lot of background. It was just like.
Give me money.
Because I felt bad that Nathan had passed. I think she's just being there in Nathan's memory.
Oh, that's nice.
I feel like when a police, I could be wrong here, but I feel like if in police departments, if a police officer goes down, the family gets the pension or some, or there's like some thing. Yeah. I don't know. Like,
I thought she'd be taken care of, but
all I'm saying is you were scammed. Yeah. Never trust that girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't trust Max.
Spinelli sends her money every month. So
No, you don't.
You know what? Maybe she pays me. Maybe she pays me child support. Cause I got her kid. Maybe that's why she's broke. Maybe it's my fault that you had to give her all this money. I'm so sorry.
There you go.
That's
wow.
So funny.
Wow. So what do you wish would be next for Amy, I guess?
Yeah, I would love a love interest. She's gone on a lot of dates. She's had a lot of flings. She talks a lot of gossip about other people's life.
Yeah.
She needs some romance.
What are her most memorable flings? Have these been on-air flings?
Yeah, she had a crush for Dylan. Robert Palmer Watkins.
No, Dylan Quartermain.
Oh, right, Dylan. Yes. Right. I forgot that they... I was thinking of like Scott Clifton and I was like, that was a long time ago. I don't think that was in, but I forgot that's the role that Robert played. Yeah. Right.
All right.
Yeah.
So Dylan, who else?
She had a thing for Dylan. She had she has a thing for all the doctors. She loves Franco. She loves.
That's problematic.
Stop there. You love
who? Loves Franco. Is Franco a doctor?
Yeah. He's not a doctor.
No, he works at the hospital. He does.
Is he really bad?
No, he does really bad art classes there.
Yeah.
Seriously, yeah. What's he doing at the hospital?
Art classes. He's
getting. Oh, that's not a joke.
He teaches art.
No, that's not a joke, dude.
But Amy thinks of him as a doctor. Doctor of art.
No, yeah, he's superior.
You know he's a serial killer, right?
Yeah, she knows everything about everyone.
Okay, great.
Does he wear a white coat just to make himself feel cool?
No. Do you know his tumor's back?
I didn't know that.
Okay. Yeah, watch out. That's
just
what makes him a serious. Yeah, it's
just
those pesky tumors that drive him to like murderousness.
So, Risa, what do you like doing outside the show? What are your other passions? What are your other interests? I know you like to sing. So, what else do you like to do? Is that
right now? I'm baking a lot.
Are you?
Yeah.
That's kind lucky of on husband. Brand for COVID times. Yeah, right.
Lucky husband. Yeah. Give me some baked goods. What do you like to bake?
I'm making banana bread like a lot because you always have bananas.
And they're always brown. And then what do you do with them? You make muffins or bread. Totally.
That's amazing.
So was the baking a quarantine thing or is that something you've always done?
Yeah, I was always a baker. I'm missing seeing people because I can't get rid of the baked goods. I used to be that girl who always brought things.
That's amazing. Great.
But,
well, next time you come to GH, just bring like 10 loaves of baked banana bread.
There you go.
As you've seen, our snack table is always empty.
And the crew will eat that. Trust me.
Yes. The crew. Deal. Well, I mean, between actors and crew people, I mean, free food is like the best thing ever.
For sure it is. For sure.
So, but yeah, when you're, you know, because obviously they're... As a recurring character, there are breaks between when you work and when you don't. And so I'm sure you're auditioning for other stuff, but in terms of maintaining your creativity, when the business isn't giving you opportunities to flex that creativity, are there things that you like to do to feel connected to that?
Yeah, that's why I took class at the Groundlings. I love taking class. Took class at the Groundlings. What else? I don't know. I watch a lot of stuff.
Well, that's research, right?
What else is there to do right now? What are you doing?
Well, I mean, we get our plate full of making YouTube videos and talking to people and you know, and obviously before going into the quarantine, we kind of had a baseline for, you know, we have this podcast. We had a pretty thriving social media that we could, you know, add to. So we had like structures in place to do more. Nice. And then we just kind of threw ourselves into it head first. And so we're, you know, but that doesn't mean that everybody should do what we did. I'm just saying like, you know, whether it's writing, whether it's, you know,
art, whatever.
Or if it's, you know, a crossword, but like whatever, like, you know, it's,
yeah,
there's some things that we need to do to not go crazy when we don't have these opportunities to do what we love to do,
for sure.
You know, professionally necessarily.
Yeah.
What is inside of you that needs to come out, and how do you get it out when no one else is giving you the platter to put it on? Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been working out really hard.
Awesome.
I've lost 55 pounds.
That's amazing. I saw that online. Good for you.
Well done. Yeah.
Like let's not just gloss over that, because that's not easy to do. So
yeah,
really, really good for you. That's really amazing.
Thank you.
It's very inspiring.
So that's been keeping me busy. That's what I do with my time. I walk in circles in our neighborhood.
Right. So
funny. Hey, you're doing it though.
Amazing. Yeah. Have you found like any sort of like exercise for me helps me not go crazy too, and clears my mind and creates space in my mind for other stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, it's I love it. And days that I don't do it, I notice it. I'm so grateful to live somewhere that I can go outside mostly every day. It's a little rainy right now, but we'll take it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, California there's a lot to recommend California for. And the fact that during a quarantine, the outdoors is still available to us, because we're not in the middle of a nor'easter like they are on the East Coast. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well,
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's great. Well, it's so great to visit with you. And
so there we had. See, everyone's been asking for Risa, and we got her. That's it. And now we just have to get her, because we do a lot of other events. Now we just need to get you to sing for us at some point. Not now.
Okay.
Because you sing, you're awesome. And if I were you, because I can't sing, I'd be singing all the time. So
thank you.
How often do you sing? Do you still try to keep up your instrument?
Oh yeah, I sing every day. And I've made little videos. I don't post them. They're just kind of for me. But
Post them. What are you doing? Post them. What's your favorite type of music? Like who? What decade? Or do you like what? What's your favorite?
I like singer songwriters like Adele, Taylor Swift. Everyone was into Taylor Swift over the quarantine.
Oh yeah, have you listened to the second album of the quarantine? Folklore and then Evermore.
Yes, I'm off.
Okay.
I'm off book on everything.
Oh, you're off book.
Don't worry.
Amazing.
That's awesome. Well,
I mean, you know, I'm sure the people would love to hear your renditions of some of these songs, whether it's just a clip or you know.
Yeah, I'll work on it. I'll work on it.
Hey, we're going to let Risa go, but we're going to talk to her right afterwards. So Risa, thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time, and it was great to get to know you. Quite honestly, because we'll you know, cross paths at work, but we never really get to talk. So thank you for doing this.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
The lovely Risa Dorkin, ladies and gentlemen.
Love Risa. She's awesome.
She's so sweet. And it's funny, like her character has a fun little edge to it. And you never know what Nurse Amy Driscoll is going to do.
That's true.
We got to change her name, though, to Shadow Driscoll or something, like something a little more like,
sure,
we need to get her a more dynamic.
Well, you know, it's funny because when I didn't know that she months ago or maybe years ago, I didn't know that she played Nurse Amy.
Sure.
Right. Because there was already an Amy that was there. It was played by Shel Kepler back in the day.
Oh,
and
yeah,
her
yeah,
name
yeah.
was Amy. I go, what? Wait. Oh, and no. Oh, a different Nurse Amy. OK,
sure.
So. But I'm glad Risa could join us. That was awesome. People have been asking, so
yeah.
There you have it.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. And let me tell you what else you're welcome for. Let me tell you what else.
Oh boy.
this amazing Love Songs with Poor Chuck.
Yeah.
Is going to be so much fun. Well, here's what's fun, right? So last time we did it in October.
Yeah.
And we kind of were asking, or, you know, texted the guys a little bit. Once or twice we only texted, right?
Yeah.
We picked our songs. We met for rehearsal. Things fell right in the line. And then we did it the next day and it was over and it was very sad. This time, you know, they were so excited from last time. You know, we're like, hey, could you, maybe we can do this again. They're like, oh, for sure. Now everybody's texting all the time. Like, these are great songs. I can't wait to sing this song. And, you know, the song choices, we kind of put together the list. And it's getting fun, man. I feel a little more like excitement for this one. Like, you know, because we're
and a little less a little less trepidation.
That's true too, because we did have some tech stuff to worry about first.
Well, because we didn't know.
Yeah, now we know. Now we've been there a bunch of times.
We didn't know. We're going to a place we had never gone. We were trying out a studio place that we didn't know about.
Yeah.
We didn't know if we were going to be able to use mics there or if we'd have to do one mic to capture all the sound.
I know, dude.
Like, so it's funny. The Friday night before we had the concert last October, we were in this like janky studio somewhere.
Dude, it was so bad, dude.
And had a little Bluetooth speaker behind us. Yes. And had one shotgun mic over the camera to capture all the sound.
Let me tell you
and
one
we
thing.
Weren't sure if that was going to be what it was.
Let me tell you. First of all, it was my fault because I booked the studio. It was cheap. I thought I was doing Bradford a favor. So that's number one. And if a structure could have COVID.
Right. If the building could catch it.
If the building could catch it. If a room could catch COVID, this room had it.
Yeah. The walls were wheezing a little bit.
Dude,
the walls had a dry hacky cough.
It was so nasty. And then we go to our regular studio.
Yeah.
You know, and we're like, this is just like, you know, the Four Seasons compared to where we were. And the people there are awesome. So we're looking so forward to this. We're going to have so much fun. Love Songs with Poor Chuck. You got to check it out. It's on Patreon. I know we've talked about Patreon a million times. And I just want people not to be afraid of Patreon because it's new, you know, anytime, like, for example, I'll use me for this example that I didn't want to open my new computer and download the things until Bradford made me 2 weeks after I had it because I don't like new things. Okay.
Sure.
So
I get you.
So I understand a lot of people in the audience, they go, what's Patreon? What is it? Can I cancel? Right. Yes. It's just basically a website where we get to do some really cool exclusive content. You can cancel at any time, but please, if you're going to join us for Poor Chuck, make sure you go back and look at all the content we put on there for the last year, because you can watch the other Poor Chuck concert. You can watch the Christmas concert. You can do everything on there. Once you join Patreon, it's all yours.
It's all yours. And also this month, we do virtual hangs every month, Zoom hangouts, right?
Yeah.
Where you get to be on screen with us. So if you sign up for the Poor Chuck concert, the very next weekend, we're doing that. You all get all of that, not to mention the stuff that you get every day from us. Motivation Mondays from Steve, Thirsty Thursdays with me, unique backstage videos on Tuesdays. We go live specifically for Patreon on Wednesday.
We go live Wednesday. Every Wednesday or Thursday, we go live for patrons where we answer your questions. It's awesome, man. It's an awesome place.
If you join us this month, you get the Poor Chuck concert and all that. And if you don't want to stay for next month, you don't have to. So it's easier. It's easier than buying tickets for a concert.
Oh, it's much easier.
It's just easier. You come for the month, and if you want to stay for the next month, you do.
Well,
you got
to look at it too. You get so much bonus material for that. You know, so
you get that and a practically 8 months worth of other material too.
Correct.
So anyway, but that's it. We would love to have you.
Yeah. Go to stonecoldthejackal.com. It's easy to join. It's going to be amazing and we're going to have so much fun. So that's Poor Chuck.
Can't wait. I mean, it's the weekend after Valentine's Day. So, you know, if you want to celebrate Valentine's Day,
I'll still be in the mood
or scorn Valentine's Day, you know, maybe we should do a couple reverse love songs.
Do you want to do anti-love songs?
Anti-love songs, yeah.
Okay.
Just throw a couple of those in there.
All right. We'll have to find
I do have one from The Road, but I think I should keep that for The Road.
What is that one?
Remember this year that I only did it for the first 2 months because then COVID. But remember it was a medley between two songs? And I started
Oh, yes. yes,
yes,
yes.
Yeah. So anyway.
All right. Yeah. Cool.
All right.
We'll see you at Port Chuck, friends.
Yes,
and
we will.
And everywhere else.
And everywhere else. StoneColdTheJackal.com is a great jumping off point. You can link to our YouTube page there. You can link to Patreon there. And
if you haven't seen YouTube, go check out our YouTube channel, because this week we have a guest on one of our reaction videos.
That's right.
We have a guest, and it's going to be amazing, and it's a lot of fun. So
that's right. And as always, a new bad jokes this week.
New bad jokes and Bradford's healthy lifestyle journey that
we're
going to
start
right
chronicling
now.
A little bit of that over the YouTube page too. So but check thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for hanging out with us and Risa. Risa, thanks for joining us.
Yes.
And we'll be talking to y'all next week.
Bye.
Bye.
No, cut that.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy.
That's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to geico.com, get a quote, see how much you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Deep within the bowels of hell, the devil scrolls through Instagram and TikTok looking for fresh souls to enslave.
Yo, 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 what's up, my chits? It's your boy, Jaden Extra, here with some...
Who are these people?
Easy pickings for possession, your Lord Darkness.
They are truly unbearable.
I believe they refer to themselves as influencers. Do you have anyone particular in mind?
Money, money, money!
Him!
My numbers are way down, babe. I need to change it up. Didn't you see that Halloween video Machine Gun Kelly made with the devil? He's like huge now, all because he sold his soul to the devil. This could be my big chance.
I'm not having this conversation. It's wrong, Jaden, and it's evil.
I'm done with the drama, Fem. Just leave, all right? And you're not coming to Cabo with me.
I hate you. This life sucks. Walk out, I'm falling apart. This time hey, y'all, it's Fem.
What's up, it's Jaden.
What's up? It's Carly Hansen.
Hey, y'all. It's Oliver Tree.
Yo, what's going on? It's Ian Dior, and we all know Valentine's Day is the most romantic time of the year.
Whatever. My friends and I are about to turn the whole holiday upside down in our new scripted holiday series, Valentine's Day in Hell.
Are you familiar with the work of Anton LaVey?
Is he on TikTok?
No, he's not on TikTok, you dumbass. Anton Xandor LaVey. He's the dude who founded the Church of Satan. I'm starting to fear that maybe you're messing with powers that are far beyond your cognitive comprehension, Jaden.
I got it, bro. I've seen a version of this movie 20 times. You're like the badass demon hunter, and I'm just some little jit who is messing around with things he doesn't understand. And in the end, I'll get all messed up, and it will be up to you to, like, save me.
First, we spent Halloween in Hell. Now, you're invited to be a part of our next musical podcast from our In Hell series.
This time around, the devil is playing games with all of our hearts, trying to ruin our Valentine's Day plans by dragging us down to the fiery inferno in the deepest depths of hell.
Demons, place a hood over Jaden and escort him to hell.
This is your fault, Oliver. I know Jaden came to you for help.
Satan has picked Jaden for some reason. Now it's up to us to make this right. So who's with me?
I'm with you, Oliver.
I'll go.
What about you, sad girl?
I'll kill some people if that's what you want.
Then that leaves you, Clappy.
Count me in, Oliver. Besides, I ain't got nothing to do. Might as well spend my Valentine's Day in hell.
In each episode, you're going to hear new original music from artists like Ian Dior,
Jaden,
Carly Hansen, and me, Fem.
Subscribe to the Valentine's Day in Hell podcast for full episodes, bonus material, and original music.
This February, check out Valentine's Day in Hell.
Brought to you by Audio Up and Podcast One.
Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. That's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.